You're now listening to the Deep Edge Podcast with your host, technology expert Ray Moda, giving you the rundown on telecom, cloud, and all things business and tech. This is the Deep Edge Podcast.
Let's go!
Hello, everyone around the world. Thanks for tuning in to Tell Your Carrier Online Summit 2020, Networking the New Norm. I'm your host, Ray Moda. I'm CEO and Principal Analyst for ACG. I'll start off by saying that 2020 has been an interesting year, to say the least. We have seen COVID-19 spread around the world and impact the way we live our normal life. But the interesting thing about this is, outside of our close community within the telecom space, people outside have noticed the vital part that telecom plays in their normal day-to-day life. We've seen businesses and government understand the value of staying connected, and a lot of large enterprises really continue their business continuity by enhancing their workforce. I always think to say where we would be if we weren't able to make phone calls or do conferencing. But the new norm that we all are experiencing is only the start of a bigger enduring shift. In the years to come, our reliance on connectivity services will only increase, and a stable internet infrastructure will be critical for business and societies alike. With this in mind, a successful WAN strategy is the utmost important for businesses looking to stay relevant. I'm really excited about this summit because there are three parts of it. I'll have an initial exclusive interview with the CEO from Telier Carrier, and then there'll be another session called Redefining Connectivity for the 2020s. And after that, there'll be another session, Why Hybrid Network is the Best Option for Your Enterprise WAN. So I'll start off with by welcoming the CEO of Telier Carrier, Stefan Gohert. Let me turn on my camera now here. Stefan, how you doing?
Doing just fine, thank you. It's good to be here, and I'm happy to see that you really exemplified why I usually am called Stefan G and not my last name full, because it's very difficult to pronounce.
Well, I got to be honest, I got to give credit to my wife saying, how do I pronounce this correctly? So don't give you too much credit. Now, I'm located in sunny Arizona, where in the summers here, people say it's like living in the core of the sun. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from just outside Stockholm in Sweden. So we have another gray and dark day here in Sweden this time of the year.
Yeah, that's excellent. Maybe we can turn off the slide there for now. But maybe before we get started a little bit, Stefan, one of the things that I there's a lot of people in the industry that want to know who you are, right? Do you mind telling us about who is Stefan Gohert?
Yes, absolutely. I'm born and raised in Sweden. I live here for most of my life. I must say I've done a couple of stints outside of Sweden for about 5 years in predominantly in the US. I've worked within Telia and Telia company for pretty much my entire professional life for about 25 years. And I was really part of the very early days of internet within Telia from that perspective. And I've been part of the journey both from very, very good times to a little bit tougher times, definitely at the dot-com bust in the beginning of the millennium, but then also the resurgence, I would say, of internet and the importance of internet and internet infrastructure over the past 10, 15 years from that perspective.
Yeah, so you've been there a while now. How did you get to the current position where you're at now?
I started out very early in what was then the infant stages before Telia Carrier actually even existed. And then I've been swapping around various different positions, predominantly within Telia Carrier and then also within the parent organization, Telia Company. And then I came back to Telia Carrier again about 2014. I was heading the data business at that point in time. And then I succeeded the previous CEO back in 2016 and been holding this position since then.
No, this is great because I, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people and I always like to learn the background. So I appreciate you being candid. Now, maybe don't be shy, right? If we could talk about in the beginning of the intro, I talked about some of the challenges in 2020, right? Are you able to talk a little bit about what some of the biggest accomplishments or proudest moment that you've seen in Tellier in 2020?
Well, I think there are quite many different ones, to be honest, right? Okay. I mean, we were all a little bit sort of not really believing that this was going to hit the entire world in the beginning of 2020. But of course, we could see that starting out a little bit in Asia and then spreading into Europe, I would say around February or so. But I think at that point in time, still everyone was feeling that maybe this is not going to be global pandemic in that sense. Of course, I think when we then came to March, it was apparent that this was going to be a problem for the entire world. We shut down all our offices, as I think many people did at that point in time. Everyone went home, started working from home. And I think that's the accomplishment number one, I would say, in that sense, is to really see that people could actually do that. And it had literally no effect or no impact on the way that we interact within the organization and even to a great extent with most of our clients as well. So I think that was a fantastic phenomenon to see that the infrastructure that is in place, and then I mean the infrastructure of communication means like you and I are using today and many other type of different formats from that, really worked very seamlessly for an industry of our nature in that sense, right? Not every industry can, of course, do their business and conduct the business in this manner, but for us, I think it was a very easy way for us to make that transition. Then, of course, I would say the other accomplishment, which I'm very proud of the entire organization for what they've been able to do during this year, is really that we essentially, as I think many had during that time period, essentially a full month's or a full year's growth in 1 month. Mm-hmm. And just being able to cope with that during such a short time frame, both from the perspective of just the general traffic growth that we saw in the network from the existing clients and the existing connections that we have, but also from the enormous amount of scrambling that people were doing to actually get connected in a very quick way, and just managing and keeping up all of those deliveries and fulfillments during that initial couple of months when everyone at the same time, of course, moved back home, working from home, having a lot of concerns and having a lot of other things on their minds as well. So I think those things are from an internal perspective and versus our clients, I think that the accomplishments that I'm absolutely most proud of during this year, that they really succeeded in doing that in a very good way.
Yeah, no, this is great because it's been a challenge, and you're right. It's been globally impacted. And initially there was the denial, then it went into concern, and then like, oh God, this is a reality check, right? So, you know, it's kind of nice to know that outside of our industry, as I mentioned earlier, that people know the importance of telecom, consumers, enterprise, but even a lot of governments see how important it is, because I can't even imagine if we weren't able to make phone calls or be able to continue our business continuity. Now you talked about some of the proudest moments, right? Maybe I'll throw a curve at you, right? And say, what were the strangest things that were network related that you saw during the year for Tellier Carrier?
Well, I think there are quite many different things in that manner. And I definitely think that what we maybe didn't necessarily think through that much is the fact that when everyone started to move back home and working from home, not just our staff, but everyone globally essentially was doing that, they're using the internet in a completely different manner than before, which of course meant that traffic during daytime increased quite substantially during this time period, daytime Europe, and then shifting over to daytime the US, of course, right? And you could see that the utilization peak in that case was much more drawn out than what it typically has been before. I think that has quite some profound impact in the way that we're that we're viewing the network and viewing loads on the internet and our own network and other networks as well in that case, because the peaks are sort of going into each other a little bit between the different continents. And I think those were kind of things that we didn't necessarily grasp or really think about that much in advance, I would say, from that perspective, that the modeling and the way that we had been modeling the network was just completely obsolete, essentially, from the user's pattern changing so much.
Yeah, now, one of the things, and I hope you're at liberty to talk about, because I know it hasn't been completed, there's been some recent news about ownership regarding Telecarrier. Telecarrier has been, for a long part, probably telecompany. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what does this mean now, you being a standalone company? What does this mean for Telecarrier moving forward? And I apologize for being direct, but I think our audience wants to know, because we received a lot of questions about it.
No, absolutely right. I think for us within Telecarrier, this is a great opportunity. I would say in many different ways. We've been a proud partner of Telia Company for the past 20 years. We've been growing that business organically from the base that we started with. But I think also that it's very clear that Telia Company is bringing much more clear focus onto the Nordic Baltic market and focusing on the retail operations in those markets. And of course, we're truly global in that sense. And being sold then or divested into an entity called Polem Infra, that is a pension fund investment, is a very strong sentiment to the way that we have been growing and the business that we have. But it's also giving us a very strong financial owner and a very long-term view of our business, with a more singular focus on what we're doing as a business going forward. So I think looking at it, the change is always a little bit dramatic when it happens. And I think that people tend to first get a little bit, okay, what does this mean? But I think after when it started to sink in with everyone within the organization, I think everyone is very excited about the opportunity that we're given and to put ourselves on a different trajectory than what we have been. I would say that the reception that I've met from the clients that we've been speaking to has been very positive from that perspective. Everyone realized that we're staying the same, staying true to our core values in that sense, and to providing the services that we do. And the organization is not merging with anything. It's really been set up as a standalone operation from that perspective, and that's a fantastic opportunity for us.
Yeah, this is great. I appreciate you clarifying that, because I think there were a lot of questions in that. But having some cash flow and then staying true to the customer and not abandoning, I think it's an important thing. So I appreciate the candid answer with that. Now, do you mind if we go a little bit deeper here? I talked a little bit about, we do have a podcast called the Deep Edge Podcast, so we always like to go deep, right? But for this summit, right, I do know that in the introduction, I talked about the pandemic, right? But I want to hear your thoughts, right? What have you seen as the biggest challenges for the carrier community as a whole? Because you interface even with a lot more people than I do.
Yeah, and I think if you start from just initially I think we felt a lot of concerns about supply chain in that sense, and actually just getting access into various different data centers and environments where we have our equipment to essentially make sure that we could keep up with the amount of requests and requirements that we had from our client base in that sense. I think that was maybe it didn't turn out as concerning as we had feared for a while, to be honest. Okay. So that was good. I think we managed through that. I think also most of the governments and the political steering of the different countries really saw telecoms and internet as a utility or something that was absolutely critical for the environment to work. So that was very positive to see that didn't materialize into something that was as concerning as we may have thought from the beginning. The other thing that I thought was really interesting to see at this is when we started out, as I said before, the growth of traffic was just very quick, and it happened very fast, I would say, across the globe in that perspective. And as most of our listeners today are aware of, I mean, the internet is an ecosystem of a lot of different players in it. And just the fact that a lot of the old vested commercial interests and things like that just really stepped out the door. We went into much more of an engineering core of making sure that the internet really worked. Mm-hmm. So getting a lot of augmentations between the different networks and making sure that the internet upheld the quality across the board was really, I think, a very strong sentiment to everyone taking it so serious and really understanding that the internet is a basic fundament that everyone is anticipating and expecting to work anytime, essentially, right? And I think everyone, the entire industry, really took that on in a very good manner, and that was a strong statement, I think, from that perspective, and really positive to see.
Yeah, no, this is great, because I wanted to hear your view, because I remember talking to I volunteer one of the high schools here, and I asked them, what would you do if the internet just went down? You know, these kids said they'd rather be punished than their phones and access to the internet be taken away. So it impacts all level, from business, consumer, to even the younger community. Now, one thing is, we're all in this, right? Is that I always tend to challenge my analysts in this area, is to say, you know, what lessons have we learned, right? How can we observe what's happened, right? And how can we figure out how to come out stronger from this? I mean, from your point of view, what lessons have you and your organizations learned for 2020?
I think you can take a couple of different perspectives on this, right? Mm-hmm. One of them, I think, if you just start looking at it from the basics of saying that if this event would have happened mm-hmm. 30 years ago, essentially before internet was really there and it existed and all these communication means, all the services and applications, just knowing that business can actually be conducted and work in a very professional manner, given the circumstances, not for every industry and not for every type of business, absolutely not, but for many businesses, not just the telecommunications, internet and that sector, but also other businesses can actually function and work very, very well. And then, of course, looking at our own organization, really being able to sort of conduct the business the way that they have been doing. I think the other aspect of it is of course the fact that looking at, you know, how should you put it, modeling and how we model and make sure that we can actually really manage the network from our perspective and the interconnection points that we have as a part of the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I think that will require us to rethink a little bit on how we design and structure our networks to make it more flexible, in the sense of really augmenting quicker and faster in that sense across the board in the footprint. And I think there are technologies and ways of working that probably needs to adopt a little bit. But I think at the same time, that's really a big learning for us in the sense of looking at the network a little bit more modular, maybe, if you put it that way, to sort of be able to expand in a different manner than what we typically have been done over a fairly easily predictable type of usage behavior that was all thrown over essentially by the big changes that we saw in March then. So I think there are quite many different learnings on our way of thinking about our environment and thinking also in terms of how we're interacting with our partners and with our clients from that perspective.
Yeah, no, this is good feedback, because I mean I think, you know, I always tell people sometimes you have these challenges, so you need to figure out how to rise, right? In that scenario. Now, maybe looking ahead, there's been kind of like a change, right, in the workplace and how they operate. I see a lot of organizations that were going to buy these major building infrastructures are saying, hey, I kind of don't mind some of this remote workforce, right? I mean, I'm actually being efficient, very productive in the area. I'm not saying that that's globally, but I do see in certain pockets. But how do you see network providers and carrying adapting to that new mode of operation and be prepared for the future there?
Well, I think it's a huge change across the board in that sense, in the ways of that businesses are definitely, I mean, everyone transformed very quickly during spring and during the remainder of this year and in adopting to a different environment. I think in many ways, the ways of working that we're under right now, i.e. the fact that you do work a lot from home, you work a little bit from the office, maybe where that's possible today, but you sort of work a little bit more in the context of anywhere in that sense. Most I know are unfortunately having to work from home only, but the fact that you can move around and move about in a different way, that part I think is here to stay. And I think that that's also what's really driving to a greater extent the expectations from everyone, as whether you're a private consumer or you're a part of a enterprise, you're expecting to have the same maneuverability and movability, essentially, whether you're trying to access your enterprise domain and work with your favorite applications that you do for work, or you're doing it as a private person in that context. So I think that internet in that sense is just becoming much more of a broader utilized phenomenon across the board, and not so much private networking on the enterprise side and public internet and internet on the consumer side, but more that's floating together to a greater extent. And I think that's really what we're seeing with a lot of the augmentations that's been done during this year for a lot of the enterprise clients, is that internet has become really a focal point for the way that they're conducting their business, but also how they're communicating with their staff and how staff can communicate back to the enterprise domains in that case. So I think there are a lot of movements here. Are we through that yet? Absolutely not. Is it here to stay? I definitely believe so, because I think once we've all seen that so many different industries really can work very well in this type of manner, where you don't necessarily have to be in the office the whole time, it's probably here to stay, I think, in that sense. We'll see, but I foresee that my employees are not all going to come back and work from the office again.
Yeah, no, this is great. I mean, I think we all have to adapt somehow, but we have to be realistic about the business expectation. Now, one thing that we noticed, Stefan, is that looking at different internet exchanges around the world, we've seen, honestly, new peaks. We've seen things go from 6 terabit to 9 terabit and new averages, right? And you touched about early on about some of the traffic growth, but do you feel this growth and this new traffic is here to stay, or what are your thoughts on that, where traffic is going?
I do believe so. I think in many ways we saw that happening to during the first couple of months, and you know, March, April, May, and the surge was definitely there, and then we sort of felt okay, because it was easing up a little bit. Unfortunately, we're in the second wave, I would say, of the pandemic right now, but we saw that easing up over summer. People were actually spending a little bit more time outdoors, and they were allowed to spend more time moving around. So we thought that maybe it would go back down to sort of the regular levels. It didn't, to be honest, right? And it went down, absolutely, right? But it didn't go back even to the levels of what we had in January, February, before the pandemic really hit. So it still upheld a fairly high level. And so I think that this is a bit of a fundamental shift in the way that people are utilizing services today versus what they did before the pandemic, and actually seeing that it works in a different manner. So even if very good, of course, that everyone could spend more time outside and stay healthy and fresh and so forth. But at the same time, I think that the utilization of these type of services and the means of communication has changed, I think, for foreseeable future in that sense, because it's hard to go back once you see that this actually works. And we've talked a lot in the industry as well about the way that we've been meeting before with a lot of different conferences and things like that. There will definitely, conferences will come back again. I'm sure about that. But will they be in the same way as before? And will we travel as much and as far as we did before? I have a little bit of a hard time seeing that, because we also definitely realize that we spend a lot of time in airplanes and just moving from different locations. That isn't necessarily always a very efficient way, but of course in the end the personal meeting is always unbeatable, I think, still, but it's not going to be to the same extent that it has been before. I don't foresee us going completely back to the way that it was prior to this.
Yeah, you know, you talked about the airplane. My team members make fun of me, like, Ray, this is the most productive you've been in like 20 years, because my excuse used to be, sorry, I can't meet with you, I'm on a plane. Right? So that was always the excuse that I used. But maybe we can close with a question, which I observe in you. Tell me if I have it right. One of the things that I notice is in talking to our analysts and even our competitive analysts, but also your customers, right, is that and this is an interesting question because I want to really get your candid feedback, is TeleCare compared to a lot of the other people in the community that are related to your space aren't as transparent. You seem to come across extremely transparent, because sometimes as the analysts, we do a lot of due diligence and we check. Am I reading that correctly? I mean, is that something in your culture, requirement? Where does that come from, or am I reading it wrong?
Well, I think you may have to ask my staff about the parts of that question about the culture. It's always difficult to define a culture, but I think definitely in many ways, and what we try to work with internally from a TeleCare point of view is really to make sure that we're transparent within the organization, both between people, but also in systems, so that you actually have access to a lot of information and you were transparent in that way. That, I think, really empowers people to feel that they should be and shall be transparent to our clients and to our partners and the way that we interact with anyone, whether it's a customer or a supplier or a partner in general. So I think it is very much a part of our organization, being transparent and tell it the way that it is. And it's better to communicate and be transparent than to not communicate at all. And whether it's good news or bad news, it's better to tell it the way it is. And I think that that's really something that we work with both internally and externally towards our clients. I'm happy to hear that you feel that that's coming across as well, because I think it is really something that we're trying to drive on a daily basis in the organization, and really making sure that people feel empowered enough also to dare to be transparent, because you have to feel that empowerment as well then.
Yeah, no, well, Steph, I want to thank you once again for the exclusive interview, and hopefully we can do this live in the future one day. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ray, and it was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Deep Edge Podcast. Make sure to follow Ray Moda on Twitter and LinkedIn at RModa. If you enjoyed the podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. Want even more? Head over to acgcc.com to access exclusive bonus content. Till next time.